were encouraged really that the proposals can still find expression internally by way of treasury instructions. Let's deal with indemnities and securities. In my view, this is sensitive information that can still go into treasury instructions and not amendments. If you amend the act for the purpose of the indemnity and securities, you might be opening up sensitive information that will lead to litigations. And with respect to guarantees, the information around guarantees does not necessarily have to be dealt with through amendments because it goes into quarterly reports. We are at liberty to discuss how Treasury allowed for guarantees every quarter, not every month. Treasury through its quarterly report can give us a sense of why guarantees were granted and not rejected through their Section 32 reports. We do not have to do it every month. So on the basis of these, I wish to place my proposal that I find both these motions undesirable. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mrolong, for your input. Any other input or question? Honorable Skotlana Mhlonishwa.
Ngiyathokoza, Sihlalo. Thanks to all members in the meeting. I believe that I'm audible, Chair.
Yeah, we can hear you, Mhlonishwa.
I think with regard to the principle of what the amendments, I think in both the bills seeks to achieve, I think it's quite good. The intentions are good as a way of trying to strengthen the accountability. So I think the intentions and the spirit of both bills, I think they are quite good, especially in relation to trying to regulate the issue of the specified time period after which the tabling of such reports need to take place after the written explanation has been tabled by the minister. Now, however, Honorable Chair, I think the proposed amendments does not take into account the practical realities that the results in delays, in particular, where auditing of an institution is concerned, or where there are unforeseeable circumstances. So by making these these issues that the two bills, perhaps let me just focus on the one of Honorable Khatshalia. By making this amendment, I think it makes it difficult because you are going to put institutions in a difficult situation because many institutions they were going to transgress not because of their own fault but at some point because of the issue of auditing process, the delay in auditing by the AG and stuff like that, or sometimes because of other unforeseeable circumstances or because of other circumstances that are beyond their control. So you would end up finding number of institutions having transgressed, not deliberately, but because of circumstances that at some point are beyond their control. And I think the AG may issue a special report on the delay of tabling the annual report, financial statements, and audit report, which means that the late tabling of this report may in some instances be delayed due to the conclusion of the audit process. So I think if the proposals, if Honorable Kalchalia was agreeable to the fact that we pause with the delay of, I mean, with the amendment of the principal act, and wait for the period wherein the National Treasury is going to deal with the overall review of the PFMA. I think at that point, perhaps you could look at a possibility of seeing as to whether can we accommodate that or no. But at this point in time, I don't think it's a good move for us to make this amendment to the Principal Act. However, I think if he was agreeable, as per the recommendations of the National Treasury, that this thing can be accommodated through delegated legislations or through an instructions from the National Treasury, I think that would have been an easier on my part, as opposed to us moving to make amendment to the Principal Act, which is the PFMA. So the issue of 60 days versus the issue of saying that the report should be submitted without putting a specified period, I think I think it's a good proposal, but I think it can be accommodated through delegated legislation or through an instruction. So I think based on that, Honorable Chair, I think if Honorable Kachala is not agreeable to us making these delegated legislation or being an instruction, it will be difficult on my part to say let's continue and adopt a motion of desirability, because if you accommodate this as part of the delegated legislation or instruction, I think it still address the concerns that he is having. He still address the intentions of bringing this private members bill. So I think if he is agreeable to that, I would then lobby the committee to say, let us agree that let the National Treasury look at this thing and make them to be part of delegated legislations, because it will still serve the same purpose. But for us to say, let's move to the amendment of the principal, the principal act, which is the PFMA, I am not agreeing to that. But if we had to, unless we say let's leave that process up until such time that the National Treasury look at the overall review of the PFMA, perhaps at that particular time we will be able to pay more attention to these issues versus the other issues. Because if you want to amend just only a small part of the principal legislation, it might have an effect on other parts. So, but when you deal with the overall review of the PFMA, I think it becomes easier to look at each and every piece of every piece of every part of that particular act. So at this point in time, I am not convinced that it is desirable for us to adopt this. So I'm of a view that at this point in time, it is undesirable for us to accept the amendments to the Principal Act. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Mhlonishwa. Honorable Sarupen, then Honorable Caleb, then Honorable Abraham.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, it's what we've heard from the parliamentary content advisors and legal advisors yesterday was that it's still an open question as to whether National Treasury issuing such instructions would actually exceed the intention of the primary legislation. And we also know that it is Parliament's job to originate legislation and process legislation and not the executive. I think that just because National Treasury says that they might do something doesn't mean that they're going to do it. There's no basis in law for them to be compelled to do it. State capture was enabled by the lacuna in legislation. The members are trying to ensure that this does not happen again. Parliament and the Zondo Commission and the report so far in the press and the public domain and public perception has been slated for being ineffectual. And many people think that all of us as MPs are not worthy of our salaries because we fail to address these things, these lacuna in legislation, these problems that lead to state capture and corruption and the failure of SOEs. So we have to do something. We have to be compelled to actually take the necessary action. If there are problems in this particular private members' bills that need to be addressed, the committee can, after a motion of desirability, bring amendments to the legislation, go clause by clause, change it where necessary to ensure that we deal with what we're trying to intend to do, which is plug the gaps. And I think that the legislation is extremely desirable. And I think it'd be very disappointing if the committee were to abrogate its responsibility and hand it over to Treasury in the hopes that something gets done. I think that that would be a typecast of exactly what we heard of the Zondo Commission about Parliament abrogating its responsibility. And I really don't think that is the way to proceed. I think we should proceed with a motion of desirability. I think I would urge the committee to vote in favor of the motion of desirability. And then we can go through the bill and we can change what is necessary. The gaps that the members have spoken about, if there are any unintended consequences that spill over into other parts of the PFMA, we have the authority after motion desirability to make the necessary changes. We can consult with National Treasury. We can get their input on, and if there are going to be unintended consequences as well. We can speak to legal advisors. We can speak to public finance experts and so on to make sure that we can turn this into the best possible legislation. But to just dismiss it from the outset and say we hope that the executive arm will do something. Well, over the last 10 years, we hope that the executive arm would do something and all they delivered was state capture. We've got to plug this lacuna, Chair, and I would urge the committee to please take steps in that regard. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Honorable Kacharya.
Chair, I'm going to be very brief because the Honorable Sarupan has covered me in very large and substantial measure. Safe to say that delegation, instructions, and loopholes have got us into this parlous place. And this is what the amendment seeks to address. As I've said, I'm utterly open to robust amendments from National Treasury. But I stand by my previous comments, which seek to address in particular what the Zondo Commission has raised. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Abraham.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much. I'm sorry for the delay in logging in. Chair, the motivations from the members are very clear. However, I think we would be abdicating our responsibility as an oversight body if we let Treasury go without making them account for what they are doing and not doing. And in this particular case, Honorable Chairperson, I think it would be wise for us to give Treasury a time frame rather than be in a race with Treasury, come up with a bill on something that they are already working on. We'd rather give Treasury a time frame to say within 30 days, we want to see these changes happening. And I think, Chair, for me, it's really undesirable that we vote for a motion of desirability. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I see another member here. DA, how many members are supposed to be in this platform? Was the Honorable Liz, Kachalia, Sarupe, now there is De Villiers. How many members are supposed to be participating?
Can I answer?
No, I'm not referring to, are you representing Mr. George?
No, I'm not representing Mr. George. I am the third DA member on the Finance Committee.
So the members of this committee is Dr. George, Sarupen, and who, and yourself?
Correct, Chairperson.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be very brief. I think that, and at risk of not duplicating what my colleagues have said, the proposed amendment to this bill strengthens the oversight ability of Parliament. And as discussed, there is more than enough opportunity to make more amendments to the proposed bill to make it even better. So I think it would be very short-sighted to just dismiss this as not desirable, because there is still a process that can be followed to, let's call it, fine-tune the bill should it be needed. But the principle of bringing a bill that gives Parliament better oversight and not waiting for National Treasury to issue instructions, I think is something which should, in any parliamentary democracy, be encouraged. So I think it is a very desirable bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable De Villiers. Honourable Abraham, are you coming back or is a legacy end?
Yes, Chair, I thought I would not have an opportunity to come back. But I just wanted to say that why don't members be agreeable rather to having regulations rather than amendment of the bill? Rather consider regulations.
Honourable Abraham, we can no longer hear you.
No, Chair, I think I'm sorry. I just wanted to check whether the members are agreeable to rather having regulations to the legislation that already exists rather than having amendments.
Okay. Honorable De Villiers, then we move to the next step of discussing that. Okay, Skosana, you will be the last. Then we discuss the motion of desirability. Honorable De Villiers, did you want to make an input?
No, sorry. Apologies, Chair. That was a legacy hand. I've already made my input. Thank you.
Thanks. Mhloni, is yours, Skosana?
No, Ngiyathokoza Sihlalo. Yeah, I just want to emphasize that regulations are also legally binding because I think the way members are arguing, it's as if regulations are something that can be overlooked, that if people want to adhere to them, they would, if they elect not to, they can do so. No, regulations are also legally binding. And the reference that Sarupen made to the issue of the State Capture Commission, I don't remember any at that, I think any recommendations coming from that commission that says you cannot address issues through regulations or through regulated instructions. Whatever that you want to legalize must be part of an act. You see, so regulations are equally legal binding. If there's a regulation that says this thing must not be done, any person who does not adhere to that regulation, that will be regarded as a transgression. So regulations are legally binding. So the fact that we are saying we would agree if these intentions that the two bills want to address are accommodated in regulations, I think it shows that we are also willing on our part to address the shortcomings that were there before. It's not like we're saying we are burying our heads in the sand to say, no, we don't want to see anything. Everything must just remain the same. No, we're saying we welcome those particular issues, but let them be accommodated in regulations, which are also legally binding. So I don't know what is the difficulty on the part of the members of the Democratic Alliance in agreeing to that, Honorable Chair.
Okay, I see the end of Honorable Sarpen. Then we move to vote on the motion of desirability.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, it's not a matter of whether one is agreeable or disagreeable with regulations. As we heard yesterday from the legal advice, it is entirely possible that the primary legislation doesn't enable National Treasury to do this in terms of regulations, because they'd be invoking a clause that was never intended to go that far. So it's not as simple as saying, oh, well, it should happen in regulations. If it could have happened in regulations, it could have happened in regulations 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, even right now, and it is not happening. And there's no subordinate legislation, as we understand, that's forthcoming. National Treasury says that they can, and they prefer to do it that way, but they're also non-committal. So I think it's quite important that we actually consider that there is lacuna. And yes, the member was correct when he says that there were no specific recommendations on the job of Parliament. Parliament is the lawmaking body of the Republic, and that is our role. I do believe that we should be finding each other here, Chair, and I do believe that we should seriously consider that this legislation is desirable. And as I said, from there, we can panel beat it accordingly and with the assistance of Treasury. But I do not think that we should outsource our lawmaking role to Treasury. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Honorable Sarpe. Let's move to consider the motion of desirability on the public finance management amendment bill, B41-2018, and the Public Finance Amendment Bill, B13-2020. We'll have to vote separately because these are two bills. They are not one bill. Let's start with the Public Finance Management Amendment Bill, B41-2018. Can there be a mover for adoption? And then there will be an objection, if there is.
Chair, sorry, it's Alan. Sorry to...
yes, Alan.
Zakele has prepared reports or motions of desirability, so maybe it's best if he just goes through the reports quickly.
Okay. No, thanks, Alan, for that advice. Dr. Klopper, over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. We prepared this draft report on the first bill, which is B14-2018, which covered all the input and the processes that the committee has followed with regards to this bill. But what is missing here will be the part on committee deliberations, which is what happened today. This has not been added, so which means if when the committee decides whether it supports the motion, then we can add the reasons here in this section for accepting or for not supporting the motion. So we try to cover all the arguments that were raised yesterday. For instance, if I may go back to the submissions of the National Treasury, we state there in number four that there were no submissions that were received on the bill from the public, because the one submission that was received did not talk to these clauses, especially the clause that was proposed in this bill. And then after that, the committee requested the National Treasury to make a submission, which it truly did on the 13th of June, 2022, via a letter that was sent to the committee. National Treasury said it supported the principle of this extended oversight, which is proposed by this bill on guarantees, indemnities, and securities, but it submitted that there is no need for the primary legislation to be amended in order to achieve this, and proposed that this oversight be done through regulatory instructions, which could be issued in terms of Section 76 of the PFMA. And it estimated that that instruction could be issued as soon as in August 2022. But then there was a response yesterday to the submission, which was given by the sponsor of the bill, Honorable Liz, and also the legal drafters from the Parliamentary Legal Services, which emphasized that the role of Parliament in respect of private members' bills, and noting that issuing of instructions in terms of this section constitute secondary legislation or delegated power. And case law was cited in this regard, where there were warnings that delegated power should be exercised very cautiously. And there were arguments also made that since there were no provisions in the PFMA which provide for the oversight proposed in this bill, the issuing of secondary legislation could result in actually amending the PFMA or interfering with Parliament's plenary power. There were also emphasis by the sponsor that could be a problem where you find a minister who decides not to issue the instructions or withdraws them in the future. And there was emphasis that needs to be in the primary legislation. So what is missing now, when the committee then decides to either support or not support, then you need to put the reasons on the basis on which the committee has taken that decision. So this is the draft report here. It's either the committee will support or reject it. The other report as well on the other bill is structured in a similar manner. But I'll upload it when you deal with that particular bill. But for now, this one is on this first bill, which is B41 of 2018. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. Hlophe. That's the report presented. Honorable members, so with that report, okay, I see Honorable Sarupen wants to make a comment.
I would like to move for the adoption of the report and move to be in favor of the motion of desirability.
Okay. Honorable Sarupen has moved for the adoption of the report. Any second?
I'll second, Mr. Chairman. I believe I am an alternate on the committee.
Honorable Liz, seconded. Any objection? Honorable Abraham?
Chair, I rise to object the motion of desirability so that it becomes undesirable. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Abraham. Any seconder to the objection? Honorable Mrolong?
I support the objection, Chair.
Objection supported. Alan, how many members in the platform are in favor of the motion and how many are against, so that it be properly recorded?
Chair, for now, in favor it's two, object it's two. So maybe members can just individually indicate and then we capture that way, Chair.
Chairperson, okay. It's Honorable de Villiers, and I'm in favor of the motion.
Thanks, Honorable de Villiers.
Chairperson, is Dorothy Magwiletsa, I object. Chair, Honorable Nkomo.
Thanks, Honorable Nkomo.
Chair, it's Honorable Skosana, I object.
Thanks, Honorable Skosana. Any other member? Okay. Can you give us the outcome, Alan?
Chair, motion four. It is one move for adoption, one seconded, and then two other members in favor. So that's four members. Objection to the motion is one moving, one seconding, and then three other members objecting. So it's five as opposed to four. So reject seems to have won it.
Okay.
Chair?
Yes.
Can I come in?
Yes.
Yeah, Chair, I don't think it's for those who are supporting. Remember that the Honorable Kachalia and Honorable Liz, they are here as invitees because they are the initiators of the two bills, but they are not necessarily members of this particular committee. So from the DA, we only have three members in the committee, which would be the Honorable George, who is absent. Then today you've got the Honorable Sarupen and Honorable de Villiers. So you've got two members from the DA who've got voting powers in terms of my understanding. So I don't think you can have four, not unless my understanding is wrong, because my understanding is that Honorable Liz and Honorable Kachalia, they're here as invitees because they are initiators of the two bills. So with regards to their voting powers, I don't think they do have voting powers in the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, if I can just come in. Sorry, my mistake. I counted the least twice. So it is Mr. Sarupen moving, Mr. Lees seconding, and then Mr. de Villiers also in favor of the motion. Just to indicate that Mr. Lees and Mr. de Villiers are alternate members to the committee. Mr. Sarupen is a full-time member. Thank you.
So those who supported the motion are three?
Yes, Chair, it's three. That's three supported and then five rejecting.
No. I think let's record that. Then let's move to the second bill, Public Finance Management Amendment Bill, B13-2020. Mover for the adoption? Honorable, is it Kachalia's bill?
Yes, it is.
Can you move?
Chair, it's Honorable Sarupen. I move for the adoption of the reports and the motion of desirability. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Sarupen has moved. Second.
Chair, this is Honorable De Villiers. I will.
Who's seconding? Is it De Villiers?
Yes, Chairperson. Honorable De Villiers, seconding. Thank you.
Honorable De Villiers has seconded the motion of desirability on B13-2020. Is there no objection?
Yes, Honorable Chair, it's Skosana, I object.
There is an objection from Shonisho Skosana. Any seconder to the objection?
Seconded, yes, Chair.
Honorable Mavile, it's second the objection. Can we get those the number of those who agree with the motion of desirability? Alan, from the side of the DA.
I'm in favor, Mr. Chair.
Honorable Liz, Honorable Sarupen, Honorable De Villiers. Okay. From the side of the ANC, Honorable Skosana Mavileta, and who else?
Honorable Nkomo objects, Chair.
Honorable Nkomo.
Morolong objects.
Honorable Morolong.
I also object, Chair.
Okay. Also, Honorable Abram. So it's still 3 in favor and 5 against.
That's correct, Chairperson. 3 in favor and 5 object.
Okay. By the way, what's the next move from here? Last time we dealt with another bill sponsored by Dr. George. Now that there has been an objection, motion of desirability, have we reached the end of the road? In terms of procedure, we have to be meticulous and do things properly.
Yes, Chairperson, that's correct. So we will send the report through for ATC, and then it will be up to the table division to schedule it in the House. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for that clarity. Let's move to item 3. Closure. The meeting is officially closed. Honorable members, thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Pleasure. Let's go to the assembly. They are waiting for us.
Recording stopped.